Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. For more information on all things Pneuma, please contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Now get ready for another inspirational message.
To be in the presence of God. And before I start, I really felt to share, to start actually with the ending. Because what I'm going to share is a story. And I want to first share what God's story is. Because God's story is He is a provider. He wants to provide all of us. And sometimes we distort the thinking. When we think of provide, we think of material things, we think of those things. But there's a lot more. That's what we're going to go into today. But God led me to Genesis 22. The story of Abraham. Actually, that's the only time you see the word Jehovah Jireh. Because we sing those songs, Jireh, you are enough. And it's good, but I'm not going to complete the song. But what does Jireh mean? Because it means God will provide. It is a story when Abraham went up to the mountain in Moriah to sacrifice Isaac. And when he was about to kill Isaac, stop. I can see that you are faithful. Faith was required of Abram. And you know why he mentioned God is Jehovah Jireh? Because after that, there was a ram that was stuck in there. And it was a replacement of sacrifice instead of Isaac. And Abraham said, God, thank you. You are Jehovah Jireh. It may look like, yes, he provided for the ram, but for Abraham, his son is back. That was the provision he received back. But the sacrifice was there. It was a replacement. So we're going to go today in a story, and it's a bit different. And so it's more of a storytelling, I would say, but it's actually a hard topic for me to preach because I can really, really relate to this topic, and I need to go on with Jane. I was like, God, this is what God is telling me. It's going to be hard. It's going to be very relatable to us, but I just want to honor God in this. So we're going to go in 2 Kings chapter 4. Because this chapter is actually a chapter of God as a provider. You see first in verses 1, the widow's oil. The most common story that you will hear, right? The widow, Elisha came to the widow and then asked for jars. And then he brought enough jars and then it stopped. But then there's the story that we're going to talk about. And then the third story, which the other story here is a deadly stew. And God provided and fed people despite that. Today it was a challenging topic for me. I was asking God, how can I share this? This is a story. But who watched the movie Dunkirk? Dunkirk, like Dunkirk? Okay. If you haven't, please watch it. Please. I beg you to. It's one of the best movies you will watch. It's about a war between Germany and France, I think. Yeah, France. And Christopher Nolan did an amazing job having three different perspectives. It's like three stories. The story of the pilot, the story of the soldier, and the story of the boat. And in the end, everything just went all together and became one big story. I was crying in that movie. I cry in all movies, even Up, like the first 10 minutes in Up. I was crying. I was like, oh, JJ was like, oh, you always cry when we watch movies. But anyways, we're going to look at it in that way. So we're going to go to the first verse. But I want to share you the title first of this topic, but there is more to your story. How many times that each of us know that each of us have a story? I have a story. You know my story. I'm going to share it later. Levi has a story. Pastor Ru has a story. Each of us has. But I want you, as we go through this, to remember God's story. This is the first perspective, that He is a provider. That is His story. He wants to provide. Because this chapter is all about that. So keep that in mind as we go on. But then we're going to go to the story of this woman who we will read on. So 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8-28. We're going to start with this portion. One day, Elisha went on to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived, who urged him to eat some food. So whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food. And she said to her husband, "Behold now, I know that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him in a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp." Wow, complete set, right? Not just a bed. "So that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there. One day he came there and he turned into the chamber and rested there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Call the Shunammite.' When he had called her, she stood before him. And she said to him, 'Say now to her, see, you have taken away this trouble for us. What is it to be done for you? Would you have a word spoken on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' She answered, 'I dwell among my own people.' And he said, 'What then is it to be done for her?' Gehazi answered, 'Well, she has no son, and her husband is old.' She said, 'Call her.' And when she had called her, she stood in the doorway. And she said, 'At this season, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son.' And she said, 'No, my lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant.' But the woman conceived, and she bore a son about that time the following spring, as Elijah had said to her." I told you, this is a story I can really relate to. But I want to start first with understanding the perspective of the woman. Because it's important to see what a Shunammite woman is. Why is she rich, right? Maybe she's doing well. Look at the woman. She probably did well, worked hard, had a good business. She's rich. She has a husband. She has people. But despite that, she's generous. Who loves generous people? Oh, if you need someone to, just kidding. But she's generous. Despite all the blessings that she had received, she's very generous. She fed Elisha. And by the way, Elisha is the one who succeeded Elijah in the story. The good thing is she is very concerned with Elisha's care. She just doesn't want to feed Elisha, but he wants him to have a place to stay. That's amazing. And if you look at it this way, I'm just going to leave this here. She became a tool of provision for Elisha. Maybe Elisha prayed, "Lord, as I travel, I pray that someone may feed me and give me a place for lunch." Maybe she was that person. Her story started with this. She became a tool of provision. But then we see more of her story, because Elisha receiving this blessing, he wants to return the favor. And he was like, "Gehazi, my servant, ask her what she wants." And normally when you look at the scenario, she may be doing it because she wanted something. She may be doing it because she needs something. But no, it's not the case. Because her response was like, "I don't need anything. I am secured. I have my own people. I don't need protection to the king. I build my own wealth in my own hands. I don't need anything. And that may be a good answer for Elijah, right? He doesn't need to give something or pray for something. I was like, oh, well. But we need to look at that scenario, because why did she say no when Gehazi was saying that she has no child? Maybe we can relate to her, because I can relate to her. Maybe she was praying for a long time, for years and years and years, to have a child. Never. No answer. No breakthrough in her life. Maybe she tried and tried before. Because you also see in the story that the husband is very old. They tried so hard. This is going to be a song. God, so far. But no, nothing happened. Breakthrough didn't came. Maybe she was hurt. And I don't know about you, I can relate to this. As you know, my story and our story, we've been waiting 10 years now and praying and receiving prophecy. But Lord, where? And I can be that woman, like, I'm hurt, I don't wanna do anymore this. I'm just gonna be rich. I hope I am as rich as this woman, but I'm not. If I am, then you won't see me. I'm traveling around the world, right? But I am not. So the woman had something that I don't. So it's a bit different. But that is a position of hurt, of brokenness, of pain, that she stopped asking for breakthrough. And I know a lot of us was or probably is in this position. Maybe it's not asking for a child. Maybe it is asking for healing. Maybe you have this pain that, nah, I'm just going to live with this. Maybe you have this perception in your family, I'm just going to live with this. Maybe your family don't know God, and you're like, I'm just going to live with it. They're kind anyways. They're not treating me bad. You know, the thing is, she concluded her own story. She concluded that I'm going to be a rich woman, secured woman, but a barren woman. And I'm okay with that. Who knows, it's not okay. Because then there's another story, the story of other people about us. And this is where Gehazi comes in. When she looked at her story, yes, I'm okay. Gehazi saw her. Oh, she has no child. That's the first thing. That's the thing. He noticed. You know what? Because it's shame. That is shame that she's holding, that she's carrying. And the sad thing about people is people see shame. However, or how hard, even how hard we try to hide it, people see it. That's what social media is about. Even how many good things you post in social media, you will see people commenting, oh, then why this, then that, and that. They will see shame. Because this is how other people interpreted her story. It is not up to us to conclude our own story. Let's go back to God's view. What is a story? God is a provider. We're going to go back to this every time. His view is always, I want to provide. I want to provide for you. No matter what you're doing, what's happening in your life, I'm going to provide for you. Yeah. And that's what God did. God provides. And the first point I want to make here is God knows our secret prayers. Can I guess, when we open our altars, a lot of you don't want to go there because I've been praying for this every Sunday. I'm tired. Believe me, I am there sometimes. I don't feel like asking for prayer. I'm tired. Let this be my secret prayer to you, God. That's okay, but it is your secret prayer, but God still knows it. And we can't blame this woman. She's just human. She understood pain. She can feel pain, and she just wants to move on. But the good thing is God is our provider. And He hears our secret prayer. He hears you asking, Lord, remove this pain for me every day. But then you don't want to ask for prayer for other people. Maybe He knows that, Lord, I really need a job. He knows that. And God knows. And you know the good thing with God is He wants to put shame to an end. In verse 16, we see how Elisha blessed her without asking. She didn't ask. No, I don't want a child. So Elijah just prophesied to her. This time next spring, you're going to have a son. But you know the crazy thing about the story? Look at her response in the Bible. It says here in verse 16, and she said, no, my Lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant. That's a lot. When I was reading that, I was like, she knows that this is a man of God. She fed the man of God. She gave him a place to stay. But then he accused the man of God of lying. And only pain can bring us to that point. Only pain and hurt can bring us to that point. But still, God is a provider. And He never changed. Whatever we are or wherever we are, He still bless. And you know, you see in the verse that it happened. The child was born. But one thing I notice here is her posture. Did you see her say, she went back to Elisha to say thanks? Maybe because of that pain is still there. Yes, I have a son. I received this blessing. So that's why we're going to go on with the next story. In verses 6-18, we see how the child has grown. Yes, it happened. She was in pain. Maybe this time the child grew. But then we'll see in the story in verse 18, which we're going to read. When the child had grown, he went out one day to his father among the reapers. And he said to his father, oh, my head, my head. The father said to his servant, carry him to his mother. And when he had lifted him and brought him to his mother, the child sat on her lap till noon, and then she died. He died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door behind him and went out. Then she called her husband and said, send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys, that I may quickly go to the man of God and come back again. And he said, why will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. She said, all is well. How many of us say, I'm okay, when everything is not going well? This is like a common thing nowadays. Hey, how are you? I'm okay. And then you go back and then go out the room, try to meet someone, and then they ask the same question. That's what she did. All is well. Then she saddled, in verse 24, then she saddled the donkey and she said to her servant, urged the animal on. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. First of all, I want to pause there for a bit. What do you think is the difference, or what do you see here? Is there a difference in the woman? Is she different? She is, right? Before, she was like, no, I am full of pain. But here, she's in a hurry. You know the amazing thing that I've seen here? She put her dead child in Elisha's room. She went up to the room that she provided for Elisha before and placed the child there. And that is an act of faith. When this woman was faithless and hopeless before, now we see a woman who was faith, who have faith, who is acting in urgency, believing that the same God who gave life and breathed life in her womb will be the same God that will raise him to the dead. There is a shift. And that's what sometimes provision looks like. God gave and it changes you. And now it was taken away from her. But then, this time she knows it is God who gave. So we're going to move on to the next verse. When the man of God saw her coming, he said to Gehazi, his servant, look, there is the Shunammite. Run at once to meet her and say to her, all is well with you. All is well. Is all well with your husband? Is all well with the child? And she said, answered, all is well. Again, same as what we do now. I'm okay. You okay? Yes. And then the same guy answered, yes, I'm okay. But both of you are not okay. That's how it works. And when she came to the mountain, to the man of God, she caught hold of his feet. And Gehazi came to push her away. But the man of God said, leave her alone, for she is in bitter distress. And the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. Then she said, did I ask my Lord for a sign? Did I say, do not deceive me? He said to Gehazi, tie up your garments and take my staff in your hand and go. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not reply and lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother and the child of the child said, as the Lord lives, as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was no sound or sign of life. Therefore, he returned to meet him and told him, the child is not awakened. I'm going to pause here for a while. Because here we see that now she knows that God is our provider. She acted in faith. That's the point number two. God is our provider. That is God's story. He saw God's story in her own life for a bit, but then it was taken away. But now she acted on faith rather than doubt. When people were saying, what, because here it's very different, like how we say, I'm okay, but it's not. What she's doing here, she's saying, I'm okay, because it is coming from faith. Remember, she put the child where? In Elisha's room beforehand, believing that something will happen. And when she went out, all she says, I'm okay. It's more of a declaration that things will be okay. It's not about like how we do things. I'm okay. How are you, mate? No, I'm okay. How about you? I'm okay. They just nodded. So then, that's not what it is. It is an I'm okay with faith, because she knows she's going to be okay. And here's the thing with Gehazi. Gehazi is a very interesting man. He went there and asked a question. It's always a Gehazi in our life. Gehazi, actually, the name Gehazi means greed. So Gehazi's story doesn't end here. You will see him in the next chapters, how he got the money from Naaman, because that's his name. He's just leaving that name. So if you look at Gehazi, he asked her again, "How are you? All is well." And a lot of us, we can say that when we are hurt. But then she still pursued and went straight to Elisha. And upon reaching Elisha, what did she do? She held his feet. And that act, imagine you go to a king and you beg. What do? You try to converse first. You lay your petition, right? But then when the king didn't agree, what do? King, no, please. And then you hold the feet of the king. What did the first thing that the woman did? She hold the feet. It's not a last resort, but a first thing that she did. Because she was in bitter distress. It's okay to feel stressed like this woman, right? Everything is not going well. But she can lay it to God. That's why in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the third point, that God is approachable. Despite the Gehazis trying to ask us be in the way. And do you know what he did, by the way? You bred in the word. When he reached Elisha holding his feet, what did Gehazi do? He pushed her away. Go away. That's not the Jesus that we know. We read in that verse that to come to me, all who are weary, for I am and burden, I will give you rest. That's the God we serve. We can be vulnerable to him. We can give everything to him. We can lay our burdens to him. We can go to him and hold his feet and say everything. Despite the Gehazis in our lives, he is gentle and humble in heart. And you know, when Elisha told Gehazi to go, "Put my stuff," she doesn't want that. "Elisha, I want your personal attention." We can be bold enough to say that to God. "God, I want you. I want you in this scenario. I need you in this scenario. I need you to intervene in this scenario. I want your personal involvement." That is how God is. Because in John 3:16, he sent his only begotten son. He's personally involved. That's how good he is. That's how he provides. You know, Jesus became the sacrifice for us. With urgency, Elisha instructed Gehazi. And the crazy thing is, when Gehazi arrived, he put the staff on the boy. And it was like, oh, the boy did not live. Because if the boy did not awaken, why did he assume that the boy will be awakened when he put Elisha's staff, when God is the giver of life? Gehazi assumed that the resurrecting power can work that way. Because provision and miracles is never a formula, but it is by faith and the presence of God in there. And that's very important. And in point number four, God is the giver of life. And as we read in the verse 32, "When Elisha came into the house, he saw the child lying dead on his bed. So he went in and shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. Then he went up and lay on the child, putting his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And as he stretched himself upon him, the flesh of the child became warm. Then he got up again and walked once back and forth in the house and went up and stretched himself upon him. The child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. Then he summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her, and when she came to him, he said, "Pick up your son." She came and fell at his feet, bowing to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. Wow. The resurrection power is never about formula. Here, Elisha did something weird that you will see. He went on top of the child, stretched his arms, and nose to nose, eyes to eyes, mouth to mouth. And this is not the first time. Elijah did the same thing in the widow's son that he resurrected. And I was like, "Lord, this is weird. I don't understand." But it means life to life. And I was reading this. Why would you do this posture? Going to New Testament, there's one person who did this posture. Giving his life to life. Dying on the cross. Dying on the cross for all of us. That was the same posture that Elisha did to give his life that comes from God to this child. And Jesus did the same. To die for us. God is the giver of life. And what I love here is this time the woman bowed to the ground. She held on Elijah, bowed to the feet of Elijah. She acted with reverence, with worship. Because now she understood that, "God, you are Jireh. You are the one to provide." That when this is my story, a story of a stressful story. What's God's story again? God is provider. All this time, that's God's story. It never changed. And you know, it's great if we're going to end the story here. Because yes, the woman had a child. The child died and then resurrected to life. It's amazing. But do you know the story didn't end here? Because we need to skip a few chapters in 2 Kings, verse 8. So you see in verse 1, I'm going to read this. "Now Elisha had said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, 'Arise, depart with your household and sojourn wherever you can. For the Lord has called for a famine and it will come upon the land for 7 years. So the woman arose and did according to the word of the man of God. She went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And at the end of the 7 years, when the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, she went to appeal to the king for her house and her land. Now the king was talking with Gehazi," the same Gehazi, "the servant of the man of God, saying, 'Tell me all the great things that Elisha has done.' And while he was telling the king how Elisha restored the dead to life, behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life appealed to the king for her house and her land. And Gehazi said, 'My lord, O king, here is the woman and here is her son, whom Elisha restored to life.' And when the king asked the woman, she told him, so the king appointed an official for her, saying, 'Restore all that was hers, together with all the produce of the fields from the day that she left the land until now.'" Wow. Sometimes we thought our story ends there, but life happens. Here we see when things are going well for the woman, reality strikes. A famine in the land came, and they need to live. Remember all that she did, all the hard work she did, how she became rich? All was lost. All was lost. It was thrown away. But now, she came back. And you know the crazy thing is her story was now different. You see Gehazi telling us a different story this time. Before, what did Gehazi tell Elisha at first? That she has no child. But now, the same Gehazi is sharing a story to the king. Hey, there's a woman that Elisha prayed for and had a son, and the son died and the son lived again. It changed. You know, when God provided for us, our story changed. When we go to God's story, our story change. And it's not just our story, how other people see our story change as well. It becomes a testimony. It becomes a blessing for other people. Here the king is asking for their story. Asking for his story. Tell me that story. It's a wonderful story. When it was a story of shame and pain, now it's a story of miracle, of provision. That is what God does. That is how God provides. And as I invite the band to come up, I want to point out that God's provision is timely. Because it's not just that. She came at a perfect time. Yes, she lost everything. She lost all the material things. Maybe this time she's okay. She's happy. She has a child. Her son is with her. But then she's still content. No, I'm not going to accept this situation. I know that the same God who provided for me is going to restore what I lost. So she went to the king. And at the same time Gehazi was telling her story, she appeared. Imagine how dramatic it is, right? You're telling a story how Pastor Dave will come here and then, oh, Pastor Dave came in. No, I'm just kidding. No, don't look back. But imagine that scenario. It's a perfect timing. Perfect timing, being at the right place at the right time. That's what provision looks like. When we seem to have lost everything, God restores. Sometimes God is a provider, is a God who restores to us. He restored the dead to life. He restored her riches, her land, and even more than that. When Gehazi told that the story of woman was a sad story, the woman partnered with God. What's God's story again? That He is a provider. She just partnered with God as a provider. And now Gehazi's story of the woman changed. In all of this, God's story is the same. He wants to provide. He's Jireh. He's Jehovah Jireh. And Jireh means we'll see. I will see. I will see to it. I will see to it. Maybe you are like the woman. Maybe you're like me. We're just tired. We're just human being. We're just tired of praying. We're just gonna put our lives in our hands. We're gonna work hard. Focus on the things we can control. But God's story is not that. Let us not conclude our story. But let us give it to God. Let us lay our burdens to Him. Because His story is a story of a provision. So today, I invite you all to stand up. We're going to worship. And I know it's a heavy topic. It's a long topic as well. But this is a story that is all of us are.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, But God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.